Hey, this is VOC's John Dwyer, and you're listening to KTSW.
San Marcos.
Coming at you live from the KTSW studios in San Marcos, Texas, this is Bobcat Radio.
Welcome to the first Wednesday Bobcat Radio of the semester. I am your host, Andrew Zimmel, with co-host and producer, Brendan Snow, and we have two fresh faces in the studio with us this beautiful Wednesday morning, Olivia Cheney and Jordan Myers. Tell the people hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, what's going on?
How's it going, guys? All right, so first off, we're going to do a quick recap of the Sun Belt Conference and how they did on their first week of playing in the football season. Football season kicked off last week. I was at the game against HBU in the press box. Super excited to see our Bobcats, you know, kick off the season the right way with the win. But real quickly, Brendan, tell us about how the Sun Belt Conference did that first week.
Yeah, the Sun Belt Conference themselves, they had a lot of interesting games that first week and a lot coming up this next week. More coming up. You know, upcoming, the new coming up, you're going to have South Alabama playing Oklahoma State, Arkansas State and Miami. When they talk about this, their game got canceled. Arkansas State was set to host Miami this Saturday, but that game got canceled because of Hurricane Irma, and the Canes are afraid that they won't be able to get back into Miami if the hurricane was to be that devastating as expected. And Louisiana Monroe playing Florida State also this Saturday, so a lot of busy for the Sun Belt coming up this upcoming week. And going on last week, the Sun Belt, pretty quiet week. You had Georgia State losing to Tennessee State, which I don't think a lot of people expected that. Idaho beats Sacramento State just fine, 28-6. Memphis beats UL Monroe. Arizona State beats New Mexico State. Auburn beat Georgia Southern. You know, they're playing a ranked foe. Appalachian State played a ranked team in Georgia, and they lost. Troy lost to Boise State. Coastal beat UMass. Lafayette beat Southeastern. Ole Miss all over South Alabama. And Arkansas State put up a close game in Nebraska, only losing 43-36. So we saw a lot of good competition, but not a lot of wins out of the Sun Belt Conference.
Except Texas State, who is one of the few Texas teams, am I correct, one of the few Texas teams to be undefeated one week in. We saw UT lose. We saw Texas A&M lose, two of the closer rivals. UTSA didn't play. So, you know, it's always nice to start off with the win. So we're going to recap that win really quickly in case you missed it. Texas State Bobcats won Saturday 20-11 over Houston Baptist Huskies. The Bobcats were able to run 69 plays for 290 yards. And with the win, their quarterback, Damian Williams, got the fresh start and the first chance to make an impact on this Bobcats team since transferring from Mississippi State. Williams went 18 for 28 with a pick, 135 yards passing, and 43 yards on the ground. The Bobcats also went 3 for 14 in the red zone against an FCS opponent, which, I mean, if we're looking at silver linings, pretty good. So really quickly, Olivia, what impressed you the most out of this Bobcats on week one?
What impressed me was how the team was able to overcome the turnovers in the first half and adjust to the defense that HBU was giving them when they were on offense. And also the great execution on plays. Texas State, like, this is for me, it was a difference from last season to see the execution on plays, on downs, running backs actually moving up the line. And then the defense was pretty phenomenal, I feel. Like, they were holding HBU on those third downs. They were doing pretty great.
Jordan, what'd you think?
You know, I think they really did step up after that that first quarter. You know, came off a little rough, but first game of the year. I know Easy and Yama had a really nice game. He really got the momentum going for him. That blocked field goal really set the tone for the defense in that first half and really kept it going.
Yeah, Sun Belt Defensive Player of the Week, which is an honor that, you know, we'd like to see coming back to San Marcos. What really surprised me, though, and I think Brendan can agree with me on this, is running back, the freshman running back, Anthony Smith, who we didn't hear a whole lot about in the spring, if I'm correct. Didn't hear a whole lot about him in the spring. Looked at the depth chart this last week, and he had a phenomenal game, averaging a little over 10 yards per carry with a touchdown. Between Smith and Williams, the rest of the offense only rushed for 41 yards. So that's something that I think didn't hurt us on Saturday because we got the win. But later on, what do you think, B?
Oh, yeah, I just want to... I loved Anthony Smith coming out and taking advantage of his opportunities. Texas State was kind of looking at a running back by committee kind of outlook at it because they didn't have any one guy standing out from the spring, a bunch of new guys, a bunch of young guys coming in, and someone had to step up and take advantage. So Anthony Smith stepped up, took advantage of a of this scenario, made something happen. I'm hoping that equals to him getting some more touches in these upcoming games. Even though he's just a true freshman, that's still something you like to have and something that you can still build on for the future.
Yeah, the running back by committee, I've never really been much of a fan of it. I know I'm not a D1 coach, so what does it matter? But, I mean, the running back by committee, to me, it helps your team. You know, no one guy gets too beat up. But in fantasy, man, it's killing me. It's killing me with these running back by committees. Jordan, what did you think of the quarterback play?
You know, I think Damian Williams really had a pretty good game for the first week. Through the air, the 135 yards, that really looked good. Jones the third, I really wanted to see him get some snaps, a little bit more snaps in. But other than that, I think he really handled the offense and really made adjustments to the Houston Baptist defense.
Were you surprised that Jones the third didn't play more?
You know, I really think Withers wanted to get Williams adjusted and, you know, give him the confidence of having that starting role. So, I mean, it would have been nice, you know, to see him more, but I'm not honestly too surprised.
Yeah, I get it, because Williams is supposed to be your guy for this season, so I get kind of sticking with him. I expected Williams to get the most snaps anyways. I did expect a little bit more out of Jones the third, but also I was kind of expecting a more lopsided game, us on the favor side, so some of those backups could get some more snaps. But like I said, Williams is your guy for this year. If you're trying to, you know, you need to win now if you're Everett Withers after winning just two games last year. Winning 1, 2, 3 games will look really bad through back-to-back years. So he wants to go with the experienced guy, you know, the former SEC quarterback, and have him be the guy this year to give him a few wins. Willie Jones sit, learn, get a couple spot action, then Willie Jones can maybe be the guy of the future.
And just to remind fans, Damian Williams is, he's a fifth-year senior, he's a transfer from Mississippi State, so this is his last year of eligibility. He doesn't get any more playing after this. This is it. Olivia, what do you think of Damian?
I thought his play was pretty well. Like I said, in the beginning, everybody was fresh faces and kind of the jitters of first game of the season. So, like I said, after the few snaps and a few turnovers, I think, like, the offense overall kind of adjusted and the quarterback play was pretty solid throughout the rest of the game.
See, to me, Damian Williams missed the first 3 weeks of summer practice, the end of, you know, fall or the end of spring a little bit, beginning of summer. I think it really affected him. See, the way, if you watch the game in the third quarter, there's two throws to the end zone, one to Schrade, one to Tyler Watts, and both of them were low balls, right? I think that, and Coach Withers mentioned this in his end-of-game press conference after that HBU win, he kind of mentioned that Damian looked like a guy that, you know, missed 3 weeks of practice. So I honestly felt that Willie Jones, you know, one offensive series out of him. He only rushed for about 5 yards on that offensive series. We didn't see a whole lot about him. We didn't get really any good film on Jones. It almost felt like a throwaway offensive series to me. Just bring Damian out, you know, chill him down, put Jones in there, a guy that hadn't had any snaps before. That was his first offensive snaps for Texas State. Also, it should be mentioned, hasn't thrown a pass in the maroon and gold yet. I don't know. I think that could have been a game where he got a little bit more, you know, a little bit more experience.
I also think there's going to be a lot of games that, I like to be honest, we're going to be on the downside of some blowouts this year. It's going to happen. It could happen this week with University of Colorado. We could be on the wrong side. You know, we're down 20 points in the fourth quarter. Really, Jones would get his live reps and live action there.
I don't know about it, man. We're going to get into Colorado, a little bit of the pregame on that after the break. But before we go, I need to talk to you about the University Bookstore. Bobcat Radio is sponsored by the University Bookstore, located on the second floor of LBJ Student Center. The University Bookstore provides support to Texas State programs, departments, events, and organizations. More info at bookstore.txstate.edu or 245-2273. We're going to be right back with more Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9.
Support for KTSW comes from Austin Community College with ongoing registration for short semester classes. There's still time to pick up ACC fall semester credits that transfer to Texas State, UT, and other universities. More information about short semester 12 and 8-week sessions at austincc.edu.
Hey man, slow down. How many burritos have you had today?
I lost count. I'm stress eating. Finals got me so worked up.
Take a break and we can walk to the store for some healthy snacks. You know, fruits, veggies, whole grains. Eating smarter will help you feel better and look better. It might even help you get a date with, you know, an actual person.
Okay, but can I take my backup burrito in case of an emergency?
Of course, buddy. But maybe you should talk to someone about your burrito problem.
A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
Rookie, these aliens are really ticking me off.
Why are they even attacking us, Sarge?
KTSW has one of the best Twitter pages in the galaxy, full of news updates, behind-the-scenes studio coverage, fan interviews, and great blog articles.
Wait, we went to war over a Twitter page?
I don't think you get how awesome the Twitter page really is, Rookie. See for yourself at KTSW_899.
Sarge, I've been hit. I'm going down.
Aw, don't worry. I'll take care of your soon-to-be ex-girlfriend.
No!
Welcome back to KTSW 89.9. You're listening to Bobcat Radio. We just got done talking about the HBU Texas State game of last Saturday. The Bobcats pulled it out 20-11. Now we're going to talk a little bit about our upcoming opponent this Saturday, Colorado. So just to recap, Colorado's last game versus Colorado State, or the Rocky Mountain Showdown. The Colorado Buffaloes defeated state rival Colorado State in the Rocky Mountain Showdown 17-3. Offensive line coach Clayton Adams told the Denver Post that he was happy with his team won, but he points to the shaky offensive line for the reason the game was so close. The Buffalo leader was sophomore quarterback from El Paso, Steven Montes, who threw for 202 yards, a touchdown, and two picks while being sacked five times. Senior running back Philip Lindsay rushed for 140 yards and a touchdown on 19 attempts. So, just real quickly, guys, how do you break down this Colorado team? Pac-12, Power 5 conference team, coming off a pretty solid season last year. Granted, they're not a Stanford or a Oregon, but they are a Pac-12 team. What do you guys think?
Honestly, I think Colorado, they're obviously a good opponent. Pac-12, like you were mentioning, their offensive line, I mean, playing in those Pac-12 games against Oregon, you know, and Colorado State, they got five sacks on them. I mean, I don't know what he went 21 for 29, so I mean, with five sacks, I think that's pretty impressive for a sophomore quarterback, but I don't know.
I'm not going to sit and label him, Montez, as just a sophomore quarterback. He got a lot of action last year as a freshman, throwing for over 1,000 yards, you know, nine touchdowns to five picks. He's experienced. He knows what he's doing. He's been there a couple of years. He's got two senior receivers and a senior running back. So that Colorado offense, I think, could be more than what it was, especially if that line just puts together a little bit more of an effort, which you would think, you know, the natural way that football goes, the Power 5 defensive line of Colorado State would be just naturally kind of better than what Texas State's defensive line is going to throw out there.
Olivia, what do you think?
I mean, from what I'm hearing, it seems as though Colorado has a lot of experience, especially against Texas State's their youth. So, like, they should definitely expect some hard hits, fast play, and then just a lot of control from their offensive end. So we're just going to have to adjust to that.
Colorado State was the sixth leading offense last season in the Pac-12 and the 12th on defense. So clearly you mentioned the quarterback play from Montez wasn't so great last year. You can see a lot of other quarterbacks, especially in Power 5 conferences, played a whole lot better than him. There's some backups who probably played better than him last year. This season, they're one game ranked lower on offense because of the poor game against Colorado State, but ranked right where they were last season, leading on defense. Led by Montez and Lindsay, along with senior wide receiver Shea Fields that you mentioned, Brendan, the Buffalo look to be one of the toughest teams Texas State plays, which raises the question. Last year, arguably the biggest game the Bobcats played was against Houston. And Houston came into Texas State and kind of, you know, we forgot whose house it was, honestly. Yeah, it was a kind of a walloping. So I don't think that's going to happen this year. Brendan, what do you think?
I don't know. You've been very optimistic of Texas State football talking this morning. Before the show, we had some time together talking about a lot about it. I'm not loving it still. And I'm not going to until I see something out of this team to beat an opponent like that. The last five times Texas State has played a Power 5 team, they went to Arkansas last year, to Florida State the year before, and they went to Texas Tech three straight. They played Texas Tech three straight years, 2011, 2012, 2013. In those five games, they were outscored by a total of 242 points to 46. So on average, they were outscored 48-9. And I'm just not going to put all my eggs in their basket right now to make an upset like that, especially with this history and what we saw from the team last week.
Jordan, any good vibes coming my way?
You know, I was just going to say, new season, new us, you know? I mean, we got Coach Withers, we got these young guys. Why not? You know, let's have let's put up a fight against them. All these young guys with Withers, they really bought in to what he's trying to do here. And I think that alone, you know, they can make some noise.
The bright side, or should I say the silver lining to this game, Colorado lost their defensive coordinator in Jim Levitt. Eight starters on the defensive side of the ball. Just to remind you guys, there's 11 starters on defense. So more than half of their starters graduated or went to the NFL. The entire starting D-line is gone. And a very good time to come in and beat a Power 5 team. I was talking to Brendan Snow earlier, and I think Jordan was there in our pregame meeting, about how this is almost, pardon the pun, a perfect storm for the Bobcats to upset a Power 5 team. You come in with a couple hiccups against HBU, I'm not going to lie. There were a lot of things, especially, I think, in the secondary. I don't think the secondary has gotten that much better from where they were last year. But the D-line, the linebackers, the offensive side of the ball, new quarterback, same solid wide receivers, running back by committee, couple hiccups against HBU. But I think this would be a perfect time to kind of upset. Have I swayed you at all, Brendan?
Not on the full-on upset, but I would like to see a more competitive game than maybe expecting, especially a more competitive game than any of these past five Power 5 games.
The other thing is, too, that Williams didn't look great in the HBU game, and this kind of makes me uneasy, but Montez had a quote-unquote solid game against Colorado State, but last year he was shaky. He wasn't a quarterback that could make a lot of quick decisions, so it's almost like a first year, to me, it almost feels like a first or second year quarterback versus a fifth year starting quarterback in Damian Williams. Because, I mean, he played at Mississippi State, so you're going to say he played backup. But remember who he's backing up.
He backed up Dak Prescott. But,
exactly.
But, okay, you know, so many players are a backup to a great player. It doesn't make him great. I have Damian Williams' stats from last year when he was at Mississippi State. He started the game against Sunbelt foe, South Alabama. That should bode well for us. They lost that game, 21-20. It was the first game of the season, too. He was 20 of 28 for 143 yards, touchdown. And he ran for 93 yards. Nothing spectacular. That's solid. I'll give him solid numbers there. Nothing spectacular. Playing against a Sunbelt team when he's surrounded by SEC talent. And then he had some limited action against LSU. I think he came in just for a couple plays, and for some reason he was 5 of 8, 94 yards, a touchdown. Ran the ball three times, lost 5 yards, but scored. So he had a little spark there. And then he also played at Alabama, and he was 6 of 10 for 35 yards in that one, 4 carries, 11 yards, no score. So he didn't do anything spectacular still. He can have, you know, the status of being a backup, being in the SEC, being at Mississippi State, but I'm not going to completely buy in until I see it.
What do you guys think?
I mean, going off of what Jordan said earlier, like, these new guys, they're buying into what Coach Withers has, what he has the expectations for the team. So I think they go in there with the mindset of they're going to win, they're going to have an intense game, going to fight back and compete. Then I think they're going to have a successful game.
Jordan?
You know, I really want to put some focus on the Bobcats offensive line for that game. I feel like if they can just maybe give Williams some time, that SEC quarterback will come out. You know, he's a big athletic guy, and I think he can make some noise, and I really think our defensive line really needs to take advantage of the game Colorado had. You know, just fire off the ball and follow everything Withers has really told him.
Now, the thing that a lot of people have been telling me, texting and tweeting at me, is that Colorado State's better than Texas State. That's the whole argument right now. To me, I'm on the I'm on the bandwagon. I drank the juice. I'm all in for Texas State's football this year. With that being said, I will concede. I think Colorado State has a longer, more historic history, recent history of being, you know, competitive against these big Power Five teams. Also, it has to be mentioned, I think. You talked about the offensive line. I think the offensive line has stepped up a lot. If we were going to grade from last year to this year from the starting game, so last year's starting game against Houston versus this year's starting game against HBU, clearly not the same rate of competition. But still, if we were to look at the offensive line, I think the offensive line from center to tackle on both sides looks a whole lot better than it did last year. What do you think, Brendan?
Yeah, that's what we were all hoping for, kind of expected, the line playing together. You know, it is still kind of a new system. It is different from linemen still with a new coach comes in and what they're doing, their schemes and how they're blocking. So giving them a year under Withers to get that together, most of these guys all returning on the offensive line. And that's really how you get the best production out of your line. You don't just go find the five best players. They have to actually play as a unit.
And I think that's what they've been doing. We saw on Saturday there was only, I want to say, a handful of times where the pocket broke down. Damien Howland had to make something happen. That's where he got those 43 yards on the ground. But with that being said, I still think that, you know, this offensive line has been playing a whole lot better. We saw the weight gain. I wanted to say it was 200 plus pounds for the entire offensive line has added over the offseason. I saw one person, I forget the name of, I want to say it was one of the offensive guards, gained almost 50 pounds, went from 230 to 280. That's impressive. Now, I was talking to Brendan earlier, because we ended up living together, that I can put on 50 pounds like that, but it's not playing weight. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't go to the rec and hoop out with 50 extra pounds. So adding 50 pounds over a four-month period, to me, that's a win right there. You know, Brendan keeps bringing these negative vibes on the air, but if he's correct with saying that this is going to be a tough season for the Bobcats, moral victories might be like the only victories we get, right, Brendan?
Yeah, you definitely still have to take advantage of even the small victories like that and try to build off it and turn it into something. But I'm not just sitting here trying to throw out slander the Bobcats and throw out some bad things in their name. I'd like to be realistic, and that's just how I'm seeing this upcoming game.
My head's in the clouds, Brendan. All right, just go over some keys to victory. The Texas State Bobcats have to do a good job converting on first down. Texas State had 10 first downs against HBU in the first half, and we'd like to see the Bobcats jump out quick on Colorado. The Bobcats D did a really good job coming up big when they had to, when the team really leaned on them in the third and fourth quarter. But Colorado's altitude, the D needs to come up and make even more stops. Texas State did a really good job only allowing 59 yards rushing against HBU. We talked about this too, Brendan, how this you mentioned the Lindsay for the Buffalo, how a senior running back, we can kind of see that the team's going to lean on him a little bit more. How do you expect the Texas State front seven to fare against, you know, an offensive running back?
Well, that's what you like to see. That's kind of one of the matchups I'm looking forward to. That's a real challenge and a good matchup there with the Texas State, the Bobcats front seven maybe being their best altogether unit on the team with that defensive line
with London know,
and Easy yeah. winning the defense player of the week, and then the linebacking core with London, Gabe Lloyd, people like that. So that's kind of the strength of the team, and that's where you want to hope to win those battles, and this would be a great test for this week and just going forward to see how you match up against a guy like Lindsay.
What are your keys to victory, Brendan?
I had down here in the keys to victory, kind of similar to Jordan. He was kind of hinting at it. We're going to have to be more efficient on offense. We don't have to be dominant on offense. We have to be efficient. We have to pick up pick up yards on first and second down, get in the third and manageables, convert third downs, take some time off the clock, keep Colorado State's offense off the field, take time off the clock, try to get, you know, maybe a small lead or something. Maybe you get ball first, maybe you get a field goal, maybe you get ball first, maybe you score, and let the defense try to play the lead, and that could be your best chance if you keep the ball away from Colorado and be more efficient on third down.
Guys, what do you guys think?
I just kind of want to add to that, obviously. I think shout out to the special teams for Texas State. I think they're really played good against Houston Baptist, and I think the third downs for Texas State, those are going to be huge all game, as they always are. But it's always nice to have the confidence in our special teams to go out there and at least set us up with some decent field advantage, you know. So,
Olivia?
I just think the intensity on defense has to just stay kicking. And then also adjusting faster in the first half. Like, after those few mess-ups or whatever, I think they just need to continue to push and get a spark from someone so they can have that confidence continue and have a positive first half and bring it into the second. And yeah.
Now, I wanted to leave this last because I feel like this is the biggest X factor in this game, and this could really turn my entire prediction on its head. The altitude. Monday, during the press conference, Coach Withers talked about how the altitude shouldn't affect the Bobcats because they're here until Thursday, I want to say. I think the Bobcats are only in the state of Colorado for Friday and then the game on Saturday. Right? Okay, so everybody agrees with me. Coach Withers claimed that the altitude and the elevation should not affect the Bobcats. Now, I don't know if any of you guys have been to Colorado. No? Okay, I have. Colorado's altitude, just being there for 12 hours, affects you. If you're outside doing, you know, exercise, labor, walking sidewalks, all that stuff, it affects you. So I want to know, do you guys think this elevation is going to affect the team more than Coach Withers is putting out? You think that's just, you know, the right PR answer? Or do you honestly think that Coach Withers doesn't think that this altitude is going to affect them?
I honestly think it will a little bit more than he's hinting on. And that's kind of how it is for every team when you go into Colorado in any of the sports. That's always one of the main things. You talk about, oh, they're going to play the Denver Nuggets or the Denver Broncos. You got to take account of the mile-high altitude. And, you know, you even have some cases where some players can't even play there because of certain conditions, and they can't be in that situation. So I think it's definitely going to play a role. You know, these guys will get tired a little bit easier. A bunch of these guys have probably never been to Colorado before. I'm sure you know, a handful of them have, but it's going to be a first-time experience for a lot of those guys to get out there, try to adjust to that air in a day's time.
So you think it was a PR answer?
Yeah, I guess I'll give it. Yeah, it was a PR answer.
Jordan, what do you think?
I honestly have to agree. It's going to affect them. I mean, who knows really how much, but it's just like, that's just logistics, honestly. I mean, if the players can play in this humidity here in San Marcos, then, hey, who knows what they can accomplish.
Olivia?
I mean, yeah, it'll affect them, but as long as they're conditioned and, like, they get some reps in, get some exercise in, like, that Friday when they land and start practicing, I think they'll be able to adjust.
Humidity is not the same as elevation. I just want to let everybody know that running around in humid temperatures and climates does not affect anybody the same as running around with no oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the last point I want to make is the line for all those betting on this game. The line is Colorado plus 35. So they have a 35. They're quote unquote supposed to beat us by 35 points. All this positive energy just sucked out of the building. What do you guys think? Are they going to cover the spread?
I'll give the Bobcats this, that the Bobcats will backdoor cover. They're going to play with some pride, I think, you know, maybe in that fourth quarter. Maybe they are down by, you know, hopefully not, but it's maybe they are down by 40 in the fourth quarter, and then Willie Jones gets some garbage time backdoor cover, simple stuff like that.
I agree. I think they'll definitely cover. I think that momentum and that they carried, Anthony Smith, you know, with that 48-yard run at the end of last game, it really seemed like they were clicking towards the end. So I think they'll be able to get some magic working.
Olivia, last point on this. All right, so just I want to mention just real quickly that it should be noted that 9 NFL teams are visiting the Texas State campus to see Bobcats work out and play. Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles, San Francisco 49ers, Oakland Raiders, New England Patriots, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Seattle Seahawks, Cleveland Browns, and my Minnesota Vikings are all going to come on campus at some point. It didn't really say. The Texas State football Twitter page announced the news last night around 10 o'clock, kind of said, hey, these teams are looking at Texas State players. So real quickly, we're going to go around. Key player for the Colorado game, Brendan.
Key player for the Colorado game is going to be Brian London.
Brian London.
Easy and Yama.
Olivia.
Williams.
I'm going to say Anthony Smith. I think he's going to have a really good game. We're pushing up on the 30-minute mark. When we come back, head coach of the San Marcos Rattlers, Mark Soto, is going to come and talk to us about a little bit about how the high school team is going. We're going to have to talk about weather real quick. Olivia with the weather.
All right. Today out here in San Marcos, we have a low of 59 and a high of 87. It's a little cloudy and windy out today, guys. Enjoy.
You're listening to KTSW 89.9.
Dude, what an awesome party. I'm so drunk right now.
Bro, me too. What do you say we go pass out at my place?
Yeah, definitely. I don't have cash for an Uber, though, so just let me get my keys. Driving drunk not only puts you at risk, but it puts others at risk as well. If you don't have the money for an Uber, you don't have the money for hospital bills, so make a plan. Have a designated driver to keep yourself in the streets safe.
A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
All right, students, you have 20 minutes remaining.
Oh, crap. KTSW's Facebook page shares A, awesome blog content, B, breaking news and local sports coverage, C, chances to win tickets and other cool prizes, or D, all of the above. It's a no-brainer. KTSW's Facebook has everything you'll need for the summer and more. To see what I'm talking about, go visit facebook.com/KTSW899, give it a like, and let us do the rest of the work for you.
Party!
Artie!
Mom?
Disease and injuries, the devil's furniture, and this is his sitting room! Don't be plagued by the futon of pestilence!
Relax, I get checkups at the Student Health Center, right across from LBJ, and it's open weekdays from 9 to 5.
Do they offer mental health services?
Yep.
Lab work? X-rays?
Yep.
HIV and STI testing?
Yes. There's a pharmacy, too. Happy?
Yeah! Let's get lit, fam!
Treat your body right. A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
In just 4 easy steps, you can put yourself on the right track to the degree you deserve.
Know How to Go is a publicly accessible resource that anyone can use to find expert advice on going to college. From finding the right degree program to finding the money for it, Know How to Go can help you every step of the way.
Know How to Go also serves the military with courses that are aimed at helping veterans get back into school. For more information on getting prepared for college, visit knowhowtogo.acenet.edu and start funding your education today.
A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
Welcome back to KTSW 89.9. You are listening to Bobcat Radio. We're waiting for head coach Mark Soto of the San Marcos Rattlers to call in. Before he calls in, let's give a little bit of a recap of how the East Central versus San Marcos game went last Friday. Brendan, you were on the call for that game.
Indeed, I was, along with Parker Ray.
Our beautiful Parker Ray. San Marcos ended up winning that game 28-0. Give us a little bit of how that game went down, Brendan.
Yeah, the game started out a little slow. The fans were waiting to see the new system with the Rattlers, with Prudy Calderon being their defensive star last year in the defensive backfield, playing safety, having 4 interceptions, scoring like 3 touchdowns on defense. He moved to be their quarterback this year after Tyler Moreno graduated. So he's the best athlete on the Rattlers, arguably. So they decided to move him to quarterback along with star running back Jamon Johnson, who ran for over 1,500 yards as a sophomore last year. So it's supposed to be a lot of coming out from that backfield. So that's what we saw. We saw a lot of running the ball out of them too. A lot of, just those simple read options and Prudy keeping it or Jamon Johnson getting it. And Jamon had a pretty quiet game. And it was a lot of Prudy getting the job done. He didn't throw the ball a lot, but when he did a good job. And it was a very solid effort for the offense and a great effort from the defense.
That's true. I was on doing the producing the game. And let me tell you something. There's nothing better than Texas high school football. It's just the environment. Everything about it, to me, just rings so true. It's the purest form of football. And do I have this right, Brendan? We have head coach Mark Soto on the phone.
I believe we do. Coach Soto, can you hear us?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
We're doing really good, coach. My name's Andrew. You're listening to KTSW. So, coach, this week, what are some players to watch for this week?
I think we're going into playing New Braunfels Canyon. You definitely need to keep your eye on Prudy Calderon and see if he shows up like he did against East Central. I'm sure, he's a competitor and he'll be able to get that done. And then, of course, the tailback is always somebody that you got to keep your eye on also. And Jamon Johnson. And secondary wise, we had 3 picks last week, so. Definitely looking to see if those guys can match the effort that they had against East Central. D-line wise, Tristan Williams and Gabe are really playing really well right now. So, you know, there's quite a few guys that are contributing, and, you know, as we go through the season, I'm sure more guys will pop up and become contributors.
Coach Soto, Jordan Myers here. So I know Michael Vargas had 14 tackles last game, and y'all had the shutout. What are some encouraging words that you would, you know, kind of give to the team before the next game against Canyon?
Do it again. Hey, play absolutely. Ball. You know, absolutely. We always tell them run to the ball. You know, when you run to the ball on defense, good things are going to happen. Either you're going to make the play, you're going to make the big hit, or, you know, they're going to drop the ball and you're going to be able to scoop and score or get the touchdown. So the first thing you got to do on defense is you got to run to the ball. You know, you got to get lined up and you got to run to the ball. So that's what we've been working on. We've been preaching that all spring long, is just run to the ball. Whatever you do, go full speed to the ball. Even if you might be wrong in your read or something like that, just run to the ball and the good things are going to happen.
Coach Brendan Snow, I wanted to touch on, I love seeing Prudy Calderon back there at quarterback as I was calling the game on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great athlete. And what kind of led y'all, and when did it leave? Did you guys make the decision to move him to quarterback?
Well, 3 years ago, we knew we'd probably move him to quarterback as a senior, just knowing what our athletes were and who they were. You know, when you build a team, you got to look at where your athletes are going to help you the best. And, you know, for his first 2 years, his sophomore season and his junior season, he helped us the best and made the team the best at safety. As we moved into his senior year, we looked at who our quarterbacks were going to be, and we knew we probably needed somebody with a little bit more speed. We wanted a two, a passing threat and a running threat. So, you know, it was just logical to go to him. He knew that was the plan. We'd always talked about it, and you know, it was just kind of natural for him to take over that position. You know, we got him a ton of reps in the spring. He took the 7-on-7 to an undefeated season in the summer. So, you know, we knew what we had in Prudy at quarterback.
That's really impressive to me, having a player. I know that everybody's so young, but having a player that can just move positions so fluidly. Is that one of the players that you think is going to give you the best matchup problems for other teams as you go into district?
Well, you know, when you get Prudy back there, you get Jamon back there, and you get Colin Ramos back there. You know, those are three threats. And then you can stretch the field vertically with Elijah Edwards and Elijah Akins. You know, you've got some threats on the field. You got your athletes on the field. And I think that's what's important to us. You know, Prudy is a great football player. You know, he's got a verbal commitment to Rice. He's a great football player, but he's only 1/11th of that team. And all the 10 other guys have to do their jobs and have to take some heat off him and protect him and do those things so Prudy can do the things that he did last week. So, you know, I think Prudy understands that. He's a team player. He's always been a team player. And he definitely, you know, he wants his team to succeed, and he's going to do what's needed to have that happen.
Coach, there's a lot of good things about this team all around, kind of how they're built. But where would you place the strength of this team?
Mental toughness. These guys have been through more than in the off season than our teams in the past. They've done more work. They've been more disciplined. They're mentally tough team that's focused and hasn't lost focus of what what the goal is, and that's to go 3, 4, 5 rounds deep into the playoffs. You know, we've been in the playoffs the last 2 years. It's time to go more than two rounds. It's time to go more than one round. So they understand that. They understand the goal. That's what they want to do. And they've been a focused bunch. You know, the guys that are here are committed and dedicated. They're working on their self-discipline, making good choices for the team and those type of things. So, you know, their greatest attribute right now as a team is their mental toughness.
Coach, last question. What are some matchups that you're looking for in that Canyon game after they come off a loss, a 46-14 loss to Cedar Ridge? What are some matchups you're looking for in that game?
You know, they have a few wrinkles in their offense that most teams don't run. I'll give you an example. When they run a power read, it's blocked just a little bit differently than other people run it. So just kind of looking at the coaching matchup and how we're going to adapt and change to that or the kind of chess match of the football game is going to be important. And then, you know, for us, and our team, that's what it's about. It's about our team. And we've got to get better from week one to week two. We've got to get better. So whether it be Canyon out there or Steele or Austin Bowie, whoever it is out there, we just got to get better. So I think what's important for the Rattlers is we execute the way we did last week, eliminate some of the penalties, get the run game into it a little bit more. And then defensively, we just got to continue to run to the ball and gang tackle. We got to get a lot of Rattlers to the ball, and we all have to strike as one.
All right, well, Coach, tomorrow's Thursday, so you got to put the hay in the barn.
Yep, you're right.
Thanks for calling us, Coach.
I appreciate you guys. Y'all have a good time.
Coach Mark Soto, head coach of the San Marcos Rattlers. That was really interesting to me, hearing what he had to say about the fluidity of his quarterback. Brandon, what do you have to say?
I want to talk at the end. He was talking about, and he touched it a little earlier, about just get to the ball and get a band of Rattlers to the ball. That was the common theme on Friday. It was never, me and Parker could never just single out, Josh Banda with the tackle, J.W. Reed with the tackle. No, it was a whole group of Rattlers in on the play every single time, getting to the ball, nose to the ball, and you couldn't really single a lot of guys out because, like I said, this defense has a lot of great players, and then Tashawn Bray, Brown Jr., where he goes by Scooter, the senior defensive back, DeMarcus Hall. Those are two fantastic players in that secondary. We didn't even get to call their names that much because, one, they didn't get thrown at a lot, and two, it was just so many players making the play together.
Do you think, did you think East Central just didn't throw their way, or do you think they scared them off?
Yeah, the way East Central was playing, they ran a legit two-quarterback system. They switched quarterbacks every single series. So there's never a lot of
consistency
and fluidity with them to get a rhythm and get the game going. They were pretty run heavy for the most part. They did throw the ball, but when they did, it wasn't very successful. Like I said, the Rattlers had three picks in that game, but it wasn't all just in the quarterback's fault. There was some they had a couple of drop touchdowns. Honestly, East Canyon did have their opportunities. They got open, and they just failed to make the play. But I wouldn't say they didn't necessarily throw at Tashawn Bray and DeMarcus Hall. They were just, so that solid as a team that you didn't have to mention them that much.
Jordan, what did you think of the interview?
I think he did a great job touching on the defense. Like you were saying, they all just attacked the ball. They had four turnovers. I mean, that speaks for itself, honestly. They went out and they played hard. They kept the time management on their side with their defense that they played. So,
Liv, what'd you want to say?
I really appreciated the confidence that he had in his team, and we asked him the question about like his upperclassmen and what drives them, and he said the mental toughness, and that's all you can ask for out of players, that's what wins games, honestly, because in those last quarter when you're tired and don't have anything left, it's that mental toughness that pushes you through and gets you that win. So he has that confidence in his team, and that's what I like to hear.
Now, Brendan, being the resident expert on San Marcos Rattlers football, we're blessed to have him on the show just because of that reason alone. What do you think of the underclassmen? Do you see, a lot of growth? Are there any underclassmen on this team that can, make an impact that we could see?
I mean, there are definitely a bunch of underclassmen that are, out there making their plays, but they are pretty led heavily by upperclassmen, the receivers, whether it's Julian Perez or Elijah Hicks. These guys are seniors. Elijah Edwards is a senior. He didn't do a lot last year, but he was on the team, did some things as a senior. One of the younger guys he's a junior, Terrence Soto, who was still kind of unsure if that's Mark Soto's son or not. We haven't asked. Maybe if I get me and Parker got to practice this week, we'll find that out. But he had an interception in that game. And, there's just so many different guys who can make different plays. You can even tell the difference of sophomore, junior, senior.
We'll have to follow up on that question, Brendan. We'll have to figure it out. So the San Marcos Rattlers go in and they play Canyon this Friday. Canyon's coming off a 46-14 loss, like I mentioned to Coach Soto. I think that is going to be one of the biggest impacts on this game because I've seen Cedar Ridge before. I've been able to go to games and see how they play, and they've always had a really solid team ever since I've started, watching area high school football. I could honestly see Canyon coming out and trying to hit San Marcos right in the face. What do you think, Brendan?
Yeah, that's what they're going to have to do. San Marcos is pretty physical. I have, for them to what they need to do to win this game, and it's kind of how they're built. Let Prudy and Jamon Johnson take care of the offense, a lot of running, you know, a lot of long drives, wear out that defense. Get, you know, just be efficient. Don't turn the ball over. It's more what it is. Protect the football, because your offense isn't, you know, it's not super dynamic right now, so they might not get a lot of opportunities, and you don't want to be forced to, oh, it's the fourth quarter, we have to score a touchdown, we have to rely on Prudy's arm, which we still don't know how great it really is, with, you know, that being his first ever live action at a quarterback in a game. So they got to try to get an early lead by running the ball, and then let that, you know, experienced, really good defense take over.
See, to me, that seems really dangerous. You heard Soto talk about, our head coach Soto, talk about how this team doesn't want to be a one-and-done. They want to go three or four rounds deep in the playoffs. That's a lot of weight put on 18-year-old shoulders who hasn't played quarterback. I know he mentioned he played 7-on-7, but I think everybody here who's played 7-on-7 knows 7-on-7 is not anywhere the same as organized 12-man football where you can get hit in the mouth every play. What do you think? Can you see this guy being the guy that San Marcos just rides into the playoffs?
Yeah, they really like Prudy Calderon. He's committed to Rice, actually, already.
To play quarterback or to play?
I believe just to play.
Okay.
I don't think he's committed as quarterback, because that would be a pretty interesting situation. But, you know, it's still, Rice is it's a decent school. It's up, not up there, but it's a pretty solid school to go play football at, I'd say. And
playing really football anywhere is a pretty solid takeoff, but yeah, continue.
Yeah, they really just like his dynamic playmaking athleticism. He doesn't run like a, you know, like a quarterback. I saw him put his shoulder down and get into the end zone twice. He didn't shy away from the contact. He could break out, make a quick cut, and take off a 40 yard just like that.
Jordan, what do you think?
Just by the way, Coach Soto was talking about this kid. I mean, he's obviously the leader of the team, and it seems like he's got the right plays and the right people around him to really make a push. And I think with him leading it, you know, I think they could do some stuff this year.
And wait, real quick, I don't want to say they're putting it all on Prudy Calderon, because Jamon Johnson is a fantastic running back. He ran for like around 2,000 yards last year as a sophomore. He just had a little bit of a slow game in that first game against East Central, and that's what it was last year for him. He didn't play much in the first game of the season against East Central, but then in the second game and the rest of the season, he took off.
Walking back those comments, I like it, B. I like it. Olivia, what do you think? How do you feel about a kind of a quarterback playing almost multiple positions? Because as Brendan was talking about, it kind of feels like he's playing quarterback, but he also lowers his shoulder like a running back. How do you feel about that San Marcos offense?
Well, I think the coach has a lot of confidence in him because he sees that he can pick up easily from the different positions that he has played. So I think he has the confidence that, like he said, that they'll make it three, four rounds deep into the playoffs with the quarterback play and also the supporting players around him, like, pushing forward. He thinks that they'll, you know, eventually pick it up and be solid throughout the season and can make that run like he wants.
We're going to talk a little bit about Texas State soccer. We're pushing up on that 50-minute break, but I need to get this in here. Texas State soccer is coming in record-wise 1-3-1 with 0-2-1 record at home, with losses to Northern Arizona, Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, and Stephen F. Austin this last Sunday. Guys, I know Brendan and I have gone to games and kind of covered this team a little bit more, but how do you feel about this team a couple games in now, B?
Yeah, they have not been too impressive at all, really, and probably not the season they were looking forward to starting with. 1-3-1 after, you know, last year they were just 6-9-3. So they're really looking to build off of, you know, last year and turn around. Hasn't looked great so far. You know, they've had two games in that record go into overtime. They tied that game with Louisiana Tech at 1-1. The game they won against Northwestern State last Friday, that game went into double overtime.
And it came down the last 28 seconds, too.
Yeah, so, you know, this team hasn't been able to comfortably win a game, or they haven't been blown out either. The biggest loss was the 0-2 loss to Northern Arizona for the first game of the season. So they've been competitive, they've been close, they just haven't been able to put together a full 90 minutes.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the Teal game. Before we go, I need to ask Brendan a real quick question. Brendan, where do you get your textbooks at?
Normally, I'll hit the bookstore up and, you know, first see what they've got going on.
I always go to the University Bookstore. The University Bookstore is the sponsor of Bobcat Radio, located on the second floor of LBJA Student Center. The University Bookstore provides support for Texas State programs, departments, events, and organizations. More information at bookstore.txstate.com. Bronfelsbrook.edu or 245-2273. We're going to be right back with more Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9.
Hey, San Marcans, it's summer, and that means it's time to explore the San Marcos River. Although you may be tempted to jump into swimming holes and even take on the rapids, be sure you don't underestimate them. They can be powerful. Check weather conditions before going into a body of water. Never swim alone. Check for depth before diving. Avoid alcohol consumption when swimming, and stay in arm's length of someone if you are responsible for them while swimming. If you're not confident in your swimming ability, wear a life jacket while floating, and always while boating. Make your splash this summer, but make it safe.
A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
Breathe! All right, tell me what you know, radio junkie.
I don't know nothing, man!
Look, I got a bunch of great music and specialty shows on my streets, and I gotta know where it's coming from. So you tell me right now where we're going downtown.
Okay, okay! It's KTSW 89.9. Music, sports, news, social media, it's all KTSW. They got the best stuff on the air right now.
So, KTSW's the real deal.
Hey, but you didn't hear it from me.
Welcome back to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9. If you're just tuning in, you missed a good 40 minutes of just solid Texas State and San Marcos sports talk. Right now, we're going to talk about the Teal game coming up for the Texas State soccer team. Brendan, can you talk to us a little bit about the Teal game, what it means?
Yeah, the Teal game coming up, it's to raise awareness for ovarian cancer. You know, a lot of sports have a lot of different things. You know, you have breast cancer awareness in NFL, and they're all wearing pink. And it's really cool to see the soccer team come out with a little bit of a different thing, coming out wearing the trying to promote wearing teal to promote awareness and raise money for that foundation.
And it's really important because head coach Kat Connor suffered from ovarian cancer just a handful of years ago. I remember coming in as a freshman and keeping up with that even when I was, you know, not at Texas State, kind of keeping up with her fight. Texas State Bobcats play Prairie View A&M. What day is that, Brendan?
That's going to be coming up on Friday. That will be the 8th of September.
This Friday. So it's really important to come out and support, not only to support just because we're all, you know, trying to root for, you know, the home team, right, coming out, but it's also important for the cause. Now we're going to switch over really quickly to Texas State Volleyball and preview the Creed and Crest Classic, or the first real games that we're going to get to see from this volleyball team this season. Just a real quick, last year they played Baylor to start the game off, or start the season off, and I know Olivia and I were at that game, and it was, correct me if I'm wrong, Olivia, but it was pretty wild.
It was a pretty intense game.
Very intense game. I want to say it came down to one of the last sets. I know the entire stadium, it's a really big stadium, Strahan Coliseum, really big area to fill, and I know that at least the bottom two decks were completely full. So it was a really good game to start off with. This year we start off, or the Texas State volleyball team starts off with a bunch of home games, real crammed together. Brendan, give us a rundown of those.
Yeah, so it's going to be about 8 games coming up in this tournament, all right here in San Marcos at Strahan Coliseum. Texas State will take part in 4 of them, playing UTSA on Thursday, SMU on Friday, UMass Lowell on Saturday, and Houston Baptist on Saturday. So we'll be playing 2 games at Saturday, that first one coming at 11 a.m., the second one at 5 p.m., and then all those other teams that I just mentioned will be playing each other kind of in between.
So if you're a volleyball fan, if you enjoy going to see volleyball games, and if, say, you just have nothing or you don't have anything to really do on Saturday, come out and support. I know that, you know, Texas State, the football team, is out of town this week, so this would be a really good chance for you guys to come out and support another Texas State team. I know I talked to Megan Porters, who is a sophomore outside hitter for this volleyball team, just recently, and I know one of the biggest things she stressed to me was it's important for fans to go to these games. I know we at the Texas State HBU game, the football game last Saturday, 15,600 filled up that stadium. Stadium holds 30,000. So not bad, not a bad showing, but it's great to have more people come out. And Jordan, you've been to a handful of Texas State games. Tell us a little bit what it's like when the entire place is full and people are screaming.
You know, you can just really tell that, like, the players get behind it 100%. They see us enjoying it, and they know they're playing for something. They're playing for a cause. They're playing for their school, you know. And to have fans out there, it's really huge. And momentum's a huge thing in any sport. So I really, you know, I'll be out there. So support these Bobcats.
No, really important because, like you said, they're 4-2. They've played 6 games so far. They haven't been here yet. They haven't got to see their home court in a while. They don't know what their fan base is going to come out looking like. So this is the string of 4 games in 3 days where they'll get to be home before they go back and, you know, head up to Waco for a tournament.
Yeah, so this would be the first chance, maybe the last chance for a while to see them. This is really important. Now we're going to go to my favorite segment. We started this last year, last spring. We're doing it again this fall, Midweek Spotlight.
Midweek Spotlight.
Now, if you're just tuning into the show, if you've never heard us do Midweek Spotlight before, this is where we highlight our favorite player, whether it be Texas State or a national player, just highlight what they've done so far this week. To start off with, I'm going to do this as just a big shout-out to Aaron Judge, who started off as Babe Ruth to start the season. We all thought that this guy was going to come out and just do crazy. He was already leading the American League in home runs. Now he's kind of come down to earth, but I can see him peaking again as the Yankees try to make that last pennant run.
Personally, quick side note on that, I'm not the biggest Yankee or Aaron Judge fan, but he was great to start the season, but then he's really came back to earth, so it's been interesting to see how he's responded. Me, I'm going to go, I do agree with it, but I don't agree with it at the same time, because I'm going to go with Roger Goodell. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. I want to see Ezekiel Elliott play and all that because he has not been convicted of anything. So he did, but Roger Goodell has stuck to his guns. He's gone at the two most powerful owners in the NFL in Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft over the last 2 years, and he's really testing his powers, pushing what he can do, and trying to set a real precedent after having a few mess ups earlier in his career dealing with some law issues and suspensions.
Jordan?
I'm going to say MLB Commissioner Manfred for dealing with all these allegations about sign stealing. Come on. It's the major leagues. Sign stealing, that's a little much.
Are you a Red Sox fan?
Absolutely. Aaron Judge, come on, man. come on.
They use Apple Watches. I don't know. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, applaud us. Come on.
It's the only way to use an Apple Watch. Olivia, your Midweek Spotlight? I'll insert one for you. Anthony Smith, who came out as a freshman. We all like to see the Green Leaf players come out and do really well. Came out and had a really big game against HBU. Hopefully he does. Has a similar game against Colorado. Just real quickly, I want to go over this scandal you keep talking about. Just to fill in the fans a little bit more, the Red Sox were caught stealing signs from the New York Yankees, who by no means am I a Yankee fan. I've had my heart broken way too many times to be a Yankee fan. But it has to be noted, sign stealing isn't cool. We've seen Jose Bautista get a good right hook for sign stealing before. So sign stealing in Major League Baseball, it has been kind of a taboo subject. What do you think, Jordan?
I want to know a team that doesn't do it, honestly. I mean, The Yankees literally went to the commissioner straight up and told him, hey, they're doing this. Like, you could do that with any team. It's just, I don't know. I thought it was a little much.
It's more of about respect for the game at this point. You know, the integrity of the game of baseball, how old it goes. And, you know, the fan base for baseball is a bunch of older gentlemen for the most part.
Yeah. And me.
And then they really appreciate, keeping the integrity of the game.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Exactly. I keep the integrity of the show. And, you don't sign steal. It's not right. So that's going to do it for us at Bobcat Radio. You can listen to more KTSW events right here on KTSW. Thanks for listening.
Hey, do you understand what's going on in this movie?
Don't you? You did see the first movie, right?
This is a sequel?
They showed it at the San Marcos Cinema Club last week.
How was I supposed to know that?
Check out their Facebook page, S-N Cinema Club. They're always showing short films, local movies, and classics for the San Marcos cinephile.
Would you please be quiet? You do know this is a movie theater.
Well, excuse me for appreciating art.
A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
In 2015, nearly 3,500 lives were lost due to distracted driving. Distracted driving is just as dangerous as driving under the influence and can destroy somebody's life at a moment's notice. Distractions include texting, eating, lots of people in the car, and even driving while tired can be a potential problem. For more information on distracted driving and how you can play a part in raising awareness, visit nhtsa.gov/riskydriving. Let's make a deal to stay alert behind the wheel. A message from KTSW, the other side of radio.
Dude, what an awesome party. I'm so drunk right now.
Bro, me too. What do you say we go pass out at my place?
Yeah, definitely. I don't have cash for an Uber, though, so just let me get my keys.
Driving drunk? Not